This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
World leaders have been excoriating Israel at the UN General Assembly gathering in New York. It's as if it's choreographed anti-Semitism, certainly anti-Israel. And today on Viewpoint, we're going to be taking a very interesting look at the broader issues concerning Israel and also the concept of a two-state solution. We're actually going to be joined in the second half of the program live by the former ambassador for the U.S. to Israel, David Friedman. And I hope you'll stay tuned, friends, because today's program is going to be, well, perhaps even prophetic. And I'm glad that you've joined us. It's Conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Today is no exception. In fact, the Bible actually talks about how in the end of the age, God, in his mercy and to fulfill his word, after dispersing the Jewish people from throughout the earth, would gather them point by point, nation by nation, throughout the earth to reassemble themselves in the land of promise. That is happening. That's why the State of Israel was reformed in 1948 after thousands of years of, when the Romans came through in 70 AD and destroyed the temple, and the people were finally dispersed throughout the face of the earth, just as God had said would happen if they did not follow his word, his will, and his ways. Right back there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and also Leviticus, I believe, chapter 26. And so that was all prophetic. But now, after 2,000 years of separation, God is finishing the task of bringing them back together. But there is one thing that seems to keep a thorn in the flesh, so to speak, and that is the whole concept of a Palestinian state. We'll be talking about that in the second half of the program, and I hope you'll stay tuned. But in the meantime, since October 7th, with the attack, we're nearly at that point, a year since the attack by Hamas, killing openly 1,200 Jewish people, which compared to America, that would be like over 30,000 Americans being killed immediately by Hamas, just to put it in relative terms. But when that happened, the whole world was shaken. Israel was shaken. And biblical prophecy was triggered to a new level. And today we're going to see how that is happening. In fact, since then, nearly 30,000 Jewish people have made Aliyah since that war broke out. And the interest in making Aliyah, that means to go up or to return to the land of promise, is spiking all over the world. A growing desire to make Aliyah right now may lead to tens of thousands of Olim, that is, Jewish people wanting to return in the coming years, according to an article that came out just a few days ago in the Jerusalem Post. Thousands of the Olim who arrived through the war came during the summer months, including young families with children and young Jewish people. So the question then would be, is Israel ready to absorb thousands of these returnees? Many Jews decided to make Aliyah during a trying war in order to strengthen the state of Israel, to express solidarity, and to take part in the Zionist story. So, according to this article that came out of the Jerusalem Post, we're now calling on Jews from all over the world to join and immigrate right now. The Jewish Agency chairman saw this spike in Aliyah as a symbol of hope. The exciting data on immigrants to Israel reflects their great commitment and love for the state of Israel, he said. The presence of the Olim alongside the state of Israel symbolizes hope. The World Zionist Organization chairman Yaakov Hagel sees Aliyah as the fulfillment of the vision of generations before. So this wave, along the opening of many of other immigration cases, shows the world that the Jewish people are determined to continue building their future in Israel, in the land of their ancestors. So we will continue to absorb, build, and strengthen together, even in the most difficult times, says the article from the Jerusalem Post. Well, something is happening. Sometimes it takes a very nasty event to trigger events that the Bible actually, that God in His Word actually prophesies or tells us are going to take place. Are we in the latter days of world history? I believe that we are. We're in the very days that both the Old and the New Testaments describe. And Israel is right at the epicenter of it, the land of promise, the promised land. It was a land promised to the Jewish people. It was a land promised to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And ultimately, even though there were originally 12 tribes, 10 of the 12 tribes ended up being dispersed throughout the world, the dispersion. But then again, there were two remaining tribes that remained there in the land of Israel, and Judah is what is referred to as the residue, the remainder of those people, the Jewish people. So, no matter how bad the threats are, that's why Jews won't flee Israel, because it is the land of promise. One writes in the Jerusalem Post, "How could I leave when my country needed me? How do I get on a plane with so many of my friends in Israel when they can't because they don't have a second passport? I wasn't the only one. An estimated 330,000 Israeli civilians and reservists, as well as other Olim and native Israelis from all over the world, had rushed back to Israel to help the Jewish state in its time of need. There was a collective understanding that the Jewish people don't have Israel, then we have nothing. People who were strangers came together to sing, to hug each other, to cry, and to heal. There was collective trauma, but there was also collective healing. And those of us who choose to stay in Israel during these times do so because this is our home, and we have decided we will not allow terrorism to dictate our lives. I may not have grown up in Israel, but to me, there is nothing more Israeli than that." And so today on Viewpoint, we take a look at that, and why would world leaders excoriate Israel at the UN gathering? What is it about the nations of the earth, the almost 200 nations, part of the United Nations, that seem to have a collective animus toward the land of promise? Well, it's a Gentile world against a very small Jewish world. God made a promise to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, "I give you the land." But he also said, "If you won't behave yourselves and honor me in the land, you're going to have problems. I'm going to remove you." But then he said, "I will eventually regain you." And here we are.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
World leaders are excoriating Israel at the UN gathering. The UN to join the nations of the earth together in a common vision for the future, which, by the way, has now been established for the UN being changed from a collective group of voluntary nations coming together to shift the focus to a one-world government, that the United Nations should become the epicenter, the heart of a new world government. At the middle of that, in the very heart of that, lies the nation of Israel. Israel, a very small little land, has been selected out of the nations. But that's exactly what God said was going to happen. In fact, it was a prophet back in Numbers chapter 24, I believe it was, 23 or 24, who actually came to the recognition. His name was Balaam. And he actually came to the recognition after trying to negotiate his way out of blessing Israel and cursing Moab. He finally came to the recognition that God had blessed Israel, and he said they will not be reckoned among the nations. In other words, Israel would be selected out by God, selected out by God among the nations. No wonder then that the nations of the earth are not all too happy about Israel. They themselves are selecting out Israel as the odd man out, so to speak, among the nations, not to be recognized, not to be treated the same as they would wish to be treated, but to treat them as the odd man out. Indeed, they are. But for God's purposes. And that's what we need to talk about, the balance of our program here today, when we're joined by David Friedman, former ambassador from the U.S. To Israel. He's going to be joining us to talk about, is there any hope? Where is the hope? Is there a real hope for peace in the Middle East? Is there real hope for a genuine Jewish state, one Jewish state, not divided? We'll be talking about that. But in the meantime, world leaders are excoriating Israel at the UN gathering this last week. After months of facing accusations of war crimes and civilian casualties in the Gaza war, Israel is now seeing the focus of international condemnation shift to its recent operations in Lebanon. Why? Well, because Israel has been attacked by tens of thousands of rockets constantly from Lebanon, far more dangerous than anything they experience coming from Gaza. And so they've waged war to defend themselves from Gaza and the attacks from Hamas. And now we have Hezbollah there in the north also seeking to destroy Israel. The IDF, Israeli Defense Force, has been conducting near continuous strikes on Hezbollah targets since Monday morning. Meanwhile, condemning Israel and calling for an end to the fighting in Gaza and Lebanon has become a focal point of the ongoing UN General Assembly. It's amazing. It's just amazing. In fact, the Turkish President Erdogan has again compared Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Adolf Hitler. So, the world is gathering against Israel just as the ancient prophets said would happen. But the ancient prophets also said that God, in his mercy and in the final era of human history, would regather the people, which he did and is doing. Israel became a state in 1948 and now has been regathering the people from all over the face of the earth, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, just as the ancient prophets foretold. But it's not complete yet. The making of Aliyah, or going up or returning to the land of Israel, is not complete yet. In fact, there are over 5 million Jews remaining in North America alone, in the U.S. And then throughout Europe, where they found a home and are increasingly becoming the odd man out. Jews are beginning to lose hope for a future in France. Jewish life is rich and prosperous in France, but everyone holds their breath wondering how much longer this will last, says the Jerusalem Post. In fact, warnings have come, leave now, or you won't be able to leave. In other words, the persecution that's frequently referred to as anti-Semitism will grow so great that you will become trapped. In Europe, where you have fled as a place of refuge, and now, Joseph Frager, with a commentary in Israel National News, asked the question, is America going the way of 1933 Germany? Now, this is interesting. America indeed going in the direction of 1933 Germany? The Anti-Defamation League released data that shows the number of anti-Semitic incidents in the United States has increased by 361% since October 7th of 2023. In terms of university campuses, anti-Semitic incidents has increased 477%. Cornell University just allowed Associate Professor of History Russell Rickford back to teaching. He had called Hamas massacre of Jews exhilarating. But once reinstated, he immediately joined an anti-Israel protest. In 1933, Germany, hundreds of laws were enacted to exclude Jews from public life, the professions, and public education. It happened gradually, like so much in history does. Nazi propaganda aimed to demonize the Jewish population so as to make the Germans indifferent to their plight. Hamas propaganda has essentially done the same thing regarding the savagery and brutality carried out against Israel on October 7th. But unfortunately, many of our youngest generation, referred to as Generation Z, have bought into those lies and misinformation. It's shocking. It shows you how easily we can be deceived, and deceived contrary to the word, the will, and the ways of the Lord. And that's what makes the thought that America can go the way of 1933 Germany not so far-fetched, writes Dr. Joseph Frager. So in Canada, anti-Semitism is soaring. Canada's Jews. It was a quiet afternoon last month when the tranquility of Toronto's Jewish neighborhoods was shattered by bomb threats targeting over 100 Jewish institutions, including synagogues and community centers in Montreal, in Calgary, and Vancouver. It wasn't an isolated incident, part of a disturbing trend that has been escalating since October 7th massacre by Hamas, when hatred against Jews turned violent. Just days later, pro-Hamas protests erupted outside synagogues in Toronto and Montreal, where congregants were met with slogans glorifying terrorists and inciting violence. Those protests turned sacred spaces into battlegrounds of intimidation, and the message became clear: it's open season on Jews in Canada. In Germany, the heart of Hitlerism and the final solution, a German court now has declared the slogan "From the river to the sea" is illegal. This is an interesting thing to happen. It just happened. The slogan "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free" is illegal, and according to a decision of the city police in Dusseldorf, is also against German law. The decision will mean that the use of the anti-Israel slogan will be banned from now on in pro-Palestinian demonstrations, and those who use it will stand trial for a criminal offense. The court ruled that the slogan, which calls for Palestinian state in the entire area between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, could be understood as a call for the destruction of Israel itself, as well as the deportation and killing of the Jewish population living there. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly what it means. The complete eradication, selecting out of the Jewish people from their homeland and from civil society. Friends, that's exactly what the New Agers say must happen to professing Christians. You must be selected out of civilized society, removed because you're an enemy of world peace. And friends, that's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. You see, as Tamar Yonah said, for on behalf of Israel as an Orthodox Jew from Jerusalem, she says, as it is now with Israel, the anti-Semitism growing so dramatically, so it will soon be among Gentile Christians. And indeed, that's where it is. If you don't have a copy of that book, you need to get one. When Persecution Comes, How to Prepare Our Hearts for Perilous Times. $25 will put it in your hands. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I think it's going to strengthen your faith, your hope. It's going to help you to see things the way they really are, the way they really are in our world. And I hope you'll get a chance to read it, When Persecution Comes. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and, $6 now for postage and handling. So today, we are laying the foundation in the first half of the program to look at where Israel stands in the world and in the view of the United States of America, and we're not finished. In fact, this last weekend, nearly 100 evangelical leaders have decided to launch a new organization called the Conference of Presidents of Christian Organizations in Support of Israel. The group sees itself as an umbrella organization for dozens of like-minded groups to come together and magnify their influence by working more closely together. Enthusiastically supporting this new evangelical version of the conference are prominent Jewish leaders who attended the opening session on Tuesday evening. Among those speaking were our next guest, David Friedman, the former U.S. ambassador to Israel. Every evangelical leader who attended the 2 days of strategic meetings agreed that a far more focused and unified effort to support Israel must be made. Well, the scriptures tell us that those who embrace Israel and the Jewish people will be blessed, and those who don't will be cursed. Where do you want to be in that continuum? Where do you want to be? You see, our job, whether or not you agree with all of Israel's decisions and the decisions of its leaders, our job is to come alongside and be supportive of the Jewish people. God's job is to judge when they're wrong. That's not our job. That's God's job. Because God called them his chosen people. And he has judged them in the past and will continue to do that if we read Zechariah chapter 13, I believe it is, correctly. There is going to be further judgment on Israel, just as there's going to be further judgment on the nations of the earth. Every nation that comes against Israel, even if we come against Israel to try to force a Palestinian state. Are you listening? Because to force a Palestinian state means to compel Israel to give up God-deeded land. To give up God-deeded land. So a rabbi in Israel now says that if Trump is to be reelected, he must come against a Palestinian state. not be reelected. What say you?
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint does determine destiny, friends. There are no neutral viewpoints in the world. None. Not even yours. Every viewpoint is either in agreement with or contrary to the word, will, and ways of the God who created us, who made and preserved us a nation, and who declared Israel to be a people to follow his name. Today on Viewpoint, in this second half of the program, having laid the foundation as a good trial lawyer for the entire scenario, we now bring to the fore David Friedman, a former trial lawyer who was appointed as ambassador from the U.S. to Israel. He's joining us, and he slammed the current vice presidential candidate for president for calling for Palestinian state during presidential debate with Trump. Let me read the article from Israel National News. Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel David Friedman accused Vice President Kamala Harris of pushing failed and destructive policy with her call for the creation of a Palestinian state during her debate with former President Donald Trump. During the debate, Harris stated, "I will always give Israel the ability to defend itself, in particular as it relates to Iran and any threat that Iran and its proxies pose to Israel. But," she said, "we must have a two-state solution where the Palestinians have security, self-determination, and the dignity they so rightly deserve." But Ambassador Friedman responded, "After October 7th, the two-state solution became a dead letter." He added, "Vice President Harris should stop parroting failed theories and trying to force a square peg into a round hole and not interfere in matters where she is neither competent nor well-informed." So the Foundation of Defense of Democracy senior fellow Jonathan Karikas concurred with Friedman, saying, "The so-called two-state solution may have been possible to implement 31 years ago, but four straight Palestinian rejections of Israeli peace offers have made it clear that the current Palestinian leadership does not aspire to end the conflict and achieve peace." That's the foundation. And a mystical rabbi now has come out and said Trump must reject a Palestinian state if he has any hope of being reelected. Welcome to former Ambassador David Friedman, a trial lawyer after my own heart. David, it's good to have you on the program.
It's great to be with you, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know I should call you Ambassador, but we're kind of brothers in the law, and I appreciate that. We lawyers take a bad rap a lot of the times, but God has a view for lawyers. In fact, I don't know if you're aware of this, but God used lawyers in this country to declare some of the most important spiritual protections and manifestation of his glory in this country. Right there, our national anthem by a godly attorney, Francis Scott Key. We also had a John Winthrop, who came over with four boatloads of Puritans, and he wrote a model of Christian charity, which some historians have said is the clearest vision of the clearest expression of the American vision ever penned. Of course, Abraham Lincoln, "This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." And so we have a lot of lawyers who have spoken very prominently, including Charles Finney, who called for a tremendous revival in this country, the likes of which, if it had not happened, we would not have survived a civil war. So all that having been said, here you are as a trial attorney pleading a cause for the Jewish people, the Jewish state, and why is it that you feel the necessity of pleading this cause at such a time as this?
Well, you know, I think the stimulus was threefold. It was the October 7th massacre. Mm-hmm. It was the polling in Judea and Samaria, in the Arab sections of Judea and Samaria, or the West Bank, as people call it, where, you know, 80% plus of the Palestinian Arabs were exhilarated and deeply supportive of the barbarity that Hamas had inflicted. Mm-hmm. Then the last thing was, as you pointed out, the Biden administration repeatedly in the aftermath of this, instead of saying, well, I guess we were wrong, that two-state solution really won't work, they kept continuing to push this. Now, you know, just think about this. They putting these Palestinian terrorists in control of territory 10 miles from Tel Aviv, 20, 25 miles from Jerusalem, in territory which is the most biblically significant territory maybe in the world. I mean, we're talking about Shiloh, which mm-hmm. almost every state has a Shiloh, every state has a Bethel, every state has a Bethlehem, you know, Hebron. I mean, the whole Bible comes to life in this area. And
you're talking about Judea and Samaria.
Yes, I am.
I mean, without Judea, we wouldn't even have any Jews, would we?
We wouldn't have a single one. We'd be called something else.
That's exactly.
So we're going to take Judea, give it to the Palestinian radical Islamists that want to destroy it. Same thing with Samaria. And by the way, look, I'm Jewish, and I feel very strongly that, you know, as you can tell from the title of my book, that there ought to be at least, you know, one Jewish state. Not pushing for two or three or four, but just one Jewish state in the land, as to which the Jewish people have better title than any people anywhere in the world, right?
Referred to in the scriptures as the land of promise.
Yes.
The land of promise was not to the world. It was to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, those covenants were made in the Old Testament repeatedly. And then, you know, in later years, the prophets, whether it was Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel, you know, they prophesied about the return of the Jewish people after after they were exiled by the Babylonians or by the Romans. They prophesied about their return. And so the Bible really comes to life in Judea and Samaria, not just for Jews, obviously for Christians as well.
Right.
That road from Nazareth down to Jerusalem was taken by Jesus when he went to the temple on the three major holidays. There's the city of Nablus, which is really Shem in Hebrew, where there's deep Christian significance as well as Jewish significance. Look, this is biblical Israel, and the idea that biblical Israel will not belong to Israel, but instead will belong to a violent terrorist organization that has done nothing but try to destroy the connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, it was just too much for me to bear. And so
destroy that connection is to rename it. So now it's not called Judea and Samaria; it's called the West Bank.
Yeah, that was certainly one of the one of the goals. Look, you know, the head of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, spoke today at the United Nations and gave a speech.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you know, in which he said that the Temple Mount, right, the site of the two major, you know, Jewish temples that were destroyed, but stood for 1,000 years, but were destroyed first by the Babylonians and then by the Romans. He said the Temple Mount belongs exclusively to the Muslim faith, that the Jews have no right to even be there.
Unbelievable.
You know?
Talk about eradicating history.
Yeah. And you compare that, by the way, to, you know, the Western Wall, which is sort of the retaining wall outside the Temple Mount, which Jews... it's open to everybody. You can be of any faith or of no faith and still come and visit. Israel doesn't do that to worshipers. So it's they're doubling down on this every single day, and Biden and Harris will continue to placate them, to indulge them, never demanding any accountability, never demanding that they stop terrorist activities, never demand that they accept Israel as a Jewish state.
Right.
You know, no accountability there. giving them money, giving them whatever they want, and it's always pressuring Israel to do things that are not in Israel's interest.
Well, there are two reasons for that from my viewpoint. One is they despise the idea, whether they will admit it or not, they despise the idea, not just Kamala Harris and Walls and so on, but the entire Gentile world has animus toward Israel because God said, you're my chosen people. And so they don't like that idea.
Yeah, I agree.
They just don't like that idea, but they can't bring themselves to admit that that's the reason, but that is the fundamental reason. And so we're looking at a situation where the Temple Mount, yes, Rome came in 70 AD and wiped it clean pretty much. But God said that he's going to return. In fact, what you did not know, David, if you'll permit me to use that name because it's such a wonderful name, David, one of the greatest names in the world and in the Bible. So what you did not know is that a few years ago, I wrote a book called King of the Mountain, the epic, eternal, and end-time battle. For it is written, he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. And that is the ultimate goal of the world and its forces. They will combine together whatever it takes, whether you want to call it the battle for King of the Hill, the King of the Mountain. That's really ultimately, from a spiritual sense, what it's about. It's not just about the land of Israel. It's primarily and ultimately about the pinnacle called the Temple Mount, where God chose to put his name there, where Hashem chose to put his name there. So I believe that that's what the bigger issue is here. You may disagree. I don't know. Lawyers can disagree and still have collegiality, can't we?
No, I agree. Listen, I agree with you. I think that, you know, Israel has been attempting to justify its existence since it came into being. No other country needs to justify their existence. You exist because you exist. It doesn't have to be justified. And yet Israel is put through these paces every single day. There's no other country in the world that, you know, that faces this, you know, this mob mentality,
right,
denying their right to be there. And the craziness of it is, as you point out, show me another country that has the type of title to the territory that Israel has. I mean, you know, the Bible, even to this day, you know, fortunately, I'm happy to say this, the Bible sells 2,000 copies every hour. You know, every year, 20 million people in America buy a new Bible. So it matters to a lot of people. And if you read that Bible, it leaves no doubt as to the rights of the Jewish people to this little tiny land the size of New Jersey.
Well, God, using some legal language, God gave the meets and the bounds, described the meets and the bounds, the legal description of the land, and said, here, I give it to you, you physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now give glory to my name as a result. When we get back, friends, we'll talk further with Ambassador David Friedman. His wonderful $30 book is yours for $25 on our website, saveus.org. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Get a copy of this one wonderful book, One Jewish State, The Last Best Hope to Resolve the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. It's a $30 hardbound book, yours for $25 on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. And the scriptures make it very, very plain. God's statement to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, I will curse those that curse you. And we don't want to be among the cursed, we want to be among the blessed. And that's why 100 evangelical leaders gathered together this last weekend to talk about how to come into better uniting in order to encourage and strengthen our Jewish brethren to be able to reestablish and fulfill biblical prophecy, bringing them from the north, the south, the east, or the west, as the ancient prophets foretold. So now we're in the final segment of our program today. I wish we had 3 hours with you, David, but we don't. So we'll get right to it, because you've got a long book here that sets the stage for all of this issue concerning the so-called Palestinian state and why it is not possible. The Palestinian folk, with all their various leadership over the past four decades, have rejected over and over and over every offer that has been made to bring about the so-called Palestinian state. They're not interested. They want to continue to use this as a leverage point to gain the animus of the nations against Israel. That's my viewpoint. So you have a chapter called Closing Argument. Sounds very lawyer-like to me. And you call it, you call it the win-win solution. So let's get with it. What is the win-win solution? You can't force a square peg into a round hole. What do we do?
So the win-win solution, frankly, is to be faithful to God's will, mm-hmm. to observe the covenants that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to fulfill the prophecies of Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and mm-hmm. to facilitate and to encourage Israel to assert its sovereignty over the entirety of Judea and Samaria. Now, what's that going to accomplish? Well, in the first place, it's going to make Israel more secure, because it will be in a much better position to weed out and control terrorist activity against the country. More importantly, I think, because this is important, you know, we're not looking to hurt anybody here. The Palestinians who live there, right? I can tell you, because I served 4 years in government in Israel, met a lot of Palestinians. The last thing they want is to be ruled by the Palestinian Authority or by Hamas. I mean, really? That is a ticket to nowhere.
They know they've got the best situation right there in Israel, don't they?
They do. So look, 20% of Israel, before you know, inside of what they call the Green Line, not including the West Bank, but 20% of Israel, 20% of the citizens are Arab. And, you know, more than 20% of the students at all the elite universities in Israel are Arab. The Arabs have ascended to the heights of commerce and business and law and medicine. And their standard of living, frankly, is the best among any Arabs in the Middle East. In fact, Christian Arabs in Israel have a higher standard of living than Jews. And so that is the template. Israel has shown that they have the ability to empower an Arab minority. And they do that with great pride. They have great pride in the fact that they've been able to do that. And, you know, Mike Pompeo, in the foreword to my book, he said something I thought very profound. He said, why should anybody be surprised that fulfilling God's will actually create the best outcome for all the inhabitants of the territory? And he's right. I mean, Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria will be the best outcome for the Palestinians, be the best outcome for Jews as well. It'll be the best outcome for Christians. Understand that in this region, we are talking about the most biblically significant, magnificent sites that affect Jews and Christians alike. Sure. Only Israel will preserve those sites. I mean, you know, we've seen what's happened in areas where there are Christian sites that have been taken over by radical Islamists. They destroy them all. They want to destroy all remnants of ancient Judaism and ancient Christianity. So this really is the only way that we can, you know, bring this very troubled region to a place that's in line with our biblical legacy. It's in line with our, you know, modern day values of human rights and freedom of religion and freedom of speech. It's in line with our desire that every human being should have a certain level of prosperity and human dignity that every human being is entitled to. It works for everyone, and it's the only solution that works for everyone. In contrast, You take this territory and you can't turn it over to corrupt and malign Palestinian leadership. And it won't be a two-state solution. It will be a final solution for the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And we got to make sure that never happens.
Well, Judea and Samaria are the very heartland of biblical Israel. And that's probably one of the reasons why the nations of the earth, the Goyim, as you guys say, are against a Jewish state that encompasses all of that land. On the other hand, God gave the meets and bounds of the land, and David, King David, for whom you're named, David, he actually was the first one to occupy almost all of the meets and bounds that God had decreed and fulfilled ultimately as close as possible by Solomon. Ever since that time, with the severance of the 10 northern tribes and so on, the dispersion of them, there has not been this unity, this oneness in the land. And yet, the nations of the earth expect you to give up that land when you're already one of the smallest countries in the world, wants you to give up that land ostensibly for world peace. How does that work?
Look, if you look at the if you look at the times in the past, and you know these are all relatively recent memory, wherever Israel has withdrawn from territory, it has the vacuum was filled by terrorists.
Well, nature abhors a vacuum, absolutely.
Yep, and the vacuum does not get filled by good people. They left Gaza. I mean, this is the best example, right? 18 years ago, Israel decided they're going to get out of Gaza. They're going to let the Palestinians have Gaza to themselves. They left Gaza. Not a Jew living in Gaza for 18 years. Not an Israeli soldier on the ground since just after, until October 7th happened. Beautiful beachfront, property, western-facing, sunset on the Mediterranean, same beaches as in Tel Aviv. They could have built, they could have built Singapore there, and they were given tons of money by the UN, by the Gulf, by the European Union. Unfortunately, except for under President Trump, they're given tons of money by America as well. They took all this money. What did they do with it? Did they build roads? Did they build
No, they built tunnels.
They built terror tunnels, and they built, rockets, which they fired, indiscriminately at Israeli civilians. You're gonna give them another chance. I mean, especially when the Palestinians in the West Bank are all in line with these people. Especially when, by the way, in Judea and Samaria, there's 40% of it is governed by Palestinians as well under the Oslo Accords.
But there is no people group referred to biblically or whatever as Palestinians. It's kind of a pseudo name that has been adopted so as to achieve this argument for separation and a separate nation. But it's not real, is it?
No. I in the book, I call it a brand. It's not even a people. It's a brand because, look, there's never been a country called Palestine. The name was given to Judea by the Romans after they conquered Judea, and they wanted to humiliate the Jews. So they picked it over, they picked Palestine, to correspond to the Philistines, who were the rivals, the biggest adversaries of the Jews. So they called this area Palestine. It was a landmass. It was never a country. It was controlled by various different, marauding armies. The Turks had it for 400 years, and the Brits had it. And during that period, Jews lived there along with the Arabs, and there were Palestinian Jews, and there were Palestinian Arabs. I mean, it wasn't unique to any particular culture. But when Israel was created, the Palestinians, they are Yasser Arafat. It wasn't even immediate. Yasser Arafat, who's a horrible, despicable human being, but a great marketer, he said, we're now Palestinian, and he took over the name, and he adopted, then he started, referring to the fact that, Palestine's been around for 2,000 years, and he harked himself all the way back. It's a made-up country. It's a made-up nation. It's a made-up people. The reality is that it took 600 years after Palestine was named by the Romans, 600 years before the first Arab showed up in this land.
Interesting.
There's nothing indigenous about them there. They came later. And if you recall, anybody can, I recommend people read the Mark Twain's book about his trip to to the area.
Right.
You know, he visited Palestine and the Innocents Abroad. It was desolate. There was nobody there.
Exactly.
Nobody wanted to be there.
It was a marshland. It was a ridiculous.
Yeah.
He saw no hope there.
Yeah. And then the Jews, you know, came back with great faith and self-sacrifice. They made, you know, the desert bloom, as they say.
Right.
Then all of a sudden it became interesting to the Arabs. Until then, they didn't want it at all.
Well, here's the problem, David, as I see it. And that is, back in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, 24, we have this pseudo-prophet by the name of Balaam that the king of Moab, Balak, tried to seduce to curse Israel and bless Moab because he was scared spitless of what Israel would do. And so finally, after trying to negotiate with God, God finally got through to Balaam and said, look, Israel is never going to be reckoned among the nations. They're going to be blessed. Yep. I'm blessing them, but Israel's never going to be reckoned among the nations. Well, the problem is that Israel wanted to be recognized among the nations. Israel is continually rejected among the nations. So how do you expect to achieve a one state recognized by the nations when God says they're not going to be recognized among the nations?
Well, look, you know,
challenging question, I think.
I mean, I got an easy answer, which is, look, God is always going to do what God's going to do. I'm you know.
There you go.
Any contest between anybody and God, God wins. So that's not.
I like that kind of thinking.
I'm not going to even pretend to think that there's an answer to usurping God's will. But look,
right.
I do think that God's covenant was real, and we can achieve it. And if the nations, look, you pointed to. To Balaam, one of the things he said when he looked over at the tents of the Jews, as he looked over them, he said, they will be a nation that will dwell alone.
Yes.
Right? That was what he said. Well, if Israel dwells alone, Israel dwells alone, but at least let it dwell alone, you know, in keeping with God's covenants. And then, you know, maybe we can live with that.
Well, Israel National News declared a week or so ago that the former U.S. ambassador to Israel presents an orderly political plan for the future of Israel and the future of the Middle East. Can you distill that plan as simply as possible?
Yeah. Israel will extend its existing sovereignty to Judea and Samaria. They will hopefully do that in conjunction with support from America and from some of the Abraham Accord countries, some of the Gulf countries that we've got good relationships with. They will create in that territory a far better lifestyle, far better life for everyone who lives there, including the Palestinians. They will help, you know, bring the Palestinians up to a standard of living which is in keeping with the same standard of living that Arabs, enjoy within the state of Israel. And Israel will hopefully de-radicalize a very troubled area and hopefully make the world a more peaceful place. I mean, that's really the synopsis, and in so doing, we'll be keeping and observing and actualizing the covenants that God made to the Jewish people.
Well, Jeremiah said, men will cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. So we've got these things that are fighting against one another, and yet the scriptures clearly indicate the same Jeremiah said that God is going to bring them back from the north, the south, the east, and the west. If it's necessary, he'll send forth hunters and fishers to accomplish the job. And so we have to be confident that is going to happen, along with a whole lot of other things. And I'm in accord with you, my friend. Two lawyers coming together in accord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
One Jewish state. That's the only hope. That's God's will. And we should pray to that effect. Thanks so much for joining us here on Viewpoint. If you're able, stay on the line afterward. I'd love to chat with you for just a couple of seconds off the air. Friends, the book, One Jewish State, a hardbound $30 book, yours for $25 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem and our world regarding Israel.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.